Welcome to the United Uncovered podcast as we go behind the scenes at the Theatre of Dreams. I'm Mark Sullivan from MUTV and I'm joined by Paul Davies, James Tuck and Adam Bostock from the club website. Coming up on today's show, we review a successful month for David Moyes' side. We hear from a handful of Reds who praise the emergence of Adnan Januzaj.
It's like he's confident. He's really confident. And sometimes people will say he's arrogant, but no, he's really confident. And I love that type of player.
Willie Morgan joins the United Uncovered podcast to discuss United's current wingers.
Off the four, he's the one that will do the same job week in, week out for you.
And we analyse David De Gea's current form as United's number one.
Towards Giaccherini. Oh, brilliant save. What a save that is. Diving to his right-hand side. Giaccherini thought that was in.
OK, let's discuss some key points from October, starting with the emergence of Adnan Januzaj. What an impact he's made, Paul.
He's been one of the highlights of the season so far, I'd say. I think he's been a player that has excited all United fans, not just what he's doing actually now, but for the future as well, because he's got huge potential. He's so young and he's playing with the fearlessness of, dare I say, someone we haven't seen probably since Ryan Giggs. Similar sort of frame and a similar sort of way of just running at people and getting fans out of their seats.
It's been a breath of fresh air, James, hasn't he? He seems to play with a freedom and a confidence belying his years.
Yeah, he just looks completely unfazed. You know, in every single game, he's got the confidence to attack people, to take people on. What I've noticed is that he frequently draws fouls from opposition players. You know, with just a little bit of trickery, a little bit of a turn of pace, and that reminds you of some of the really, really great players that have played for the club. It's important we don't put too much pressure on him, but that said, he does seem to be very level-headed and seems to be able to cope with it, so it's really promising.
You say draws fouls. Stoke, he didn't really draw them from Stoke, because them just went out to boot him as high in the air as they could. Didn't they have two bookings or something against for fouls on him within like the first 10 minutes of him coming on the pitch?
But, it was obviously a tactic,
but he changed the game and he was a threat, and they'd obviously picked him out as a threat before the game, and then he exacted his own revenge just by changing the impetus of the game and United coming back.
Yeah. He raised the crowd's level as well, didn't he, Adam? When he came on, he got a rapturous reception. He's been instantly taken to the hearts of the fans.
Yeah, of course, the fans here have always got behind young players. You know, there's been countless examples of players who've come through the ranks because the fans recognise how important it is in the club's fabric that we continue to bring through. Exciting young players, but you know, not only are they giving support to a rising youngster, they also recognise, as Paul said earlier, the potential that he has and the sheer, you know, the sheer excitement factor. Again, we've always liked our wingers here too, so he ticks both boxes. He's homegrown, or certainly he's come through the ranks here, and plays in that sort of attacking, creative manner that's so so beloved of this place.
Can we be going too much on that? Can we kind of get ahead of ourselves and put too much pressure on him? Is that a danger?
There is always that danger. I think possibly, though, the danger is more from external sources. And I think this club, again, there have been great examples of how, to use the Ryan Giggs comparison of Paul from earlier, you know, how this club has been in the past very careful at how it's managed young players and given them limited exposure to media interviews outside of the club's own media, of course. I think that's important, how the club manages a young player. And but, you know, it's impossible not to talk about him when he's had the month he's had, and of course the impact he made in that first game against Sunderland.
Should we give credit to David Moyes as well for having faith in him and giving
him his absolutely chance? I think Sir Alex gave him his squad number in the last game of last season when there was kind of nothing really on the game, but you know, he still did, which was a vote of confidence for him. And then David Moyes has taken him on. I mean, I think he's almost demanded to be played after his performances on the pre-season tour. I mean, it's very easy to say that pre-season tours are just about fitness and, you know, they don't really mean that much and the games are only friendlies, but when you see someone like him make such an impact, you can see what it can actually do for he's projected him into the manager's thinking immediately, and he's taken the opportunity to play him when we have got a lot of wingers. And you know, the thing that has impressed me most, more than anything, was on the day that he signed his contract, extending it for 5 years, all the attention was on him. The talk for the previous 2 weeks had been about which country he's going to play for, so he'd hardly been out of the headlines. And he went out there and was completely unfazed. And was one of our best players again. So when we're talking about, can he handle the limelight? Are we building up too much pressure on him? Well, he's answering that every week, as far as I can see.
Certainly is. Right, let's now hear from Adnan Yanazai's teammates. They have been talking to MUTV about the youngster and his progression.
Everyone knows he's a big talent. But what he surprised me a lot with Adnan is his personality. He's confident. He's really confident. And sometimes people will say he's arrogant, but no, he's really confident. And I love that type of player.
He did really well along with Jesse on the pre-season tour. And he's just carried that on, really. He's what you want all young players to do. He's been given a chance and he's taken it.
He's got the quality and the confidence and I think he'll really be a standout player for Manchester United.
He's a great lad to have around. He's really down to earth, wants to learn, wants to improve, and he's a pleasure to play with.
You think he's already doing something because he scored 2 goals for Manchester United? I will say I will never pass him the ball again in the pitch.
It's a big challenge for him, but obviously we see him every day. He's got the talent and hopefully he can go out and do that and can continue that form for the rest of the season.
He's a talented lad, so why wouldn't you, talk about it and why wouldn't you, praise him? But yeah, it's that balance of keeping his feet on the ground, which I don't think would be a problem for him.
And I will say to Adnan, when he's going to win many trophies, I will say maybe he's a Man United player. I always make some joke with him like that, but I love him. I love him and I want him to do well because they are the future.
Moving on then, James, to the Reds in the Champions League during the month of October. 4 points on the 2 games. The 1 point away from home was a point well earned and then did the business at home. That's the blueprint of success in this competition.
Yeah, absolutely. It's been a really positive start for us in the Champions League. Obviously, there's been a few struggles in the league, but we just seem to have been pretty solid and consistent in the Champions League. I think we're all pretty much agreed that we'd have taken a point in Donetsk, even if it was a disappointing to lose a late goal. And then, we were really good at home against Real Sociedad. I think, it was a flattering scoreline for them, really. We could have won by a lot more. So, we're at 7 points now and we've just got to get to that magical 10 points everyone talks about and then we'll be safely through. So, yeah, it's really good.
The singing section was trialled, Adam. A success in your eyes?
Yeah, I think the atmosphere was very good. I mean, it generally is, of course, for European nights at Old Trafford. I think, there's never really been an issue when the floodlights are on and we're playing against, especially one of the bigger clubs from Europe. Paul may be better qualified than I to speak about that because I was in the press box for the Sociedad game. But certainly you could hear the noise coming from the section, and David Moyes speaking after the game was certainly very complimentary about the efforts and the need to do it. The need to allow people who want to come and sing to come and do just that, and how the team and indeed the coaching staff do appreciate the backing they get. Again, never been a problem away from home. Just sometimes the acoustics and the way the stadium is set up here has not necessarily lent itself to a good volume from the home support. And then the press box, you get a slightly skewed view anyway because you've got the away fans very close by, so they always seem to make a racket. So over to Paul.
There's two things really, I thought. The first one is that noise that they made, it was like seeing a United away end at a home game because they didn't stop singing throughout and they were bouncing up and down and they all had flags and banners and there was just an enthusiasm, and it's purely because they put them together and they've not dissipated them all around the ground, and I think it's really positive, and the second thing is that I think generally United fans this season have been fantastic. I think away from home they've been as good as they've ever been, and at home the atmosphere has been a lot for games that we would normally talk about. It'd be a bit flat. We'll just turn up. We'll expect the team to win. So there's no real sort of excitement generated around the games, but all the home games have meant something, and the atmosphere across the board, wherever United have been, has been fantastic this season. And I think the singing section, I feel like there's a momentum moving towards returning Old Trafford to what it used to be like. And I know that the club are really keen to make this work. And if they can do, I think that match day experiences at Old Trafford are going to be something to enjoy again. Because, let's be honest, they're not all, they aren't always.
No,
it's,
you're right.
It's ironic that it's coming at a time when, you know, some of the clubs lower down the Premier League pecking order, shall we say, have come to Old Trafford with seemingly more confidence than they've had in the past. And we think of West Brom and of course, Southampton getting a draw here as well. Where obviously this is all about, you know, not only giving fans the opportunity to fully enjoy themselves, but also to make Old Trafford that cliche, that fortress again, you know, and make it, you know, nigh on impossible for a club to come here and get something and feel that the visiting team is on the back foot from the first whistle. You know, and I think an imposing stadium like this should make the opposition defenders' knees tremble as they walk down the tunnel. That's what you want to instill in them.
Yeah, you want the thing is, you want the like-minded supporters to be together, because I see people in my stand, I see in the Stretford and lower, and people in front of me, they will stand up and they will try and get the atmosphere going. But if no one around them joins in, they sit back down and they don't stand up again. And, you know, whatever you say, all-seater stadiums, they have impacted on the atmosphere.
Yeah.
And, you know, in the future, who knows, you know, singing sections wherever it may be.
If they can find a safe standing area.
Or a safe standing area could be the way forward for not just United, but all Premier League clubs.
Like it's very successful over in Germany.
Germany's the perfect model because, you know, we look on enviously at the way their crowds. I don't agree with everything in German football's amazing. I think we've gone a little bit over the top on that, but I do look at their supporters and the way the clubs work with them. United are very good, you know, creating banners and flags and flag nights, and they've done that very well and supported it well over the years. But I think that the singing section is the next step for us, and if we can get that, I just think it'll change the Old Trafford experience.
Well, speaking of the singing section, we sent Gemma Thompson along to that section during the Sociedad game, a Real Sociedad game, to pick up some atmosphere and chat to a few fans.
I'm a fan. Good. It's a good atmosphere tonight. Probably one of the best atmospheres that's been for a long, long time here.
Where do you usually sit?
In the north stand. In the top tier.
And did you just want to be in here tonight?
Yes.
Has it been what you expected?
Yeah, it's better. It's been really good, yeah.
And is this something that we should see permanently at Old Trafford?
I think we should have it every game. All the time.
Do you think it's making a difference to the players as well? Will they help them out there?
I'm sure it does, yeah.
Right, so it's half-time, United versus Sociedad. Guys, we're in the singing section. What are your thoughts on that first half out there?
A lot better atmosphere than up in Stretford, definitely. I prefer to sit there all the time, really, for good, definitely.
What's the sort of good thing about being all together, do you think? Just everyone singing, everyone's up for it in here?
Yeah, everyone's up for it in that, yeah, so good, yeah.
It's a bit like being it in a way, isn't it?
Yeah, because there's a small group of fans in it singing and that.
And do you think it's sort of resonating with the players and they can hear us out there?
Yeah, I reckon they will be able to. Should be able to. I wouldn't mind watching it end, you know, to see if they say out when they're in getting questioned at the end. I'd like to see if they say out, mention it, cause it'd be good. Feel a bit better about stuff.
And is this something you'd like to see sort of on a permanent basis? Would you guys definitely come and sit here?
Yeah, 100%, definitely. I would anyway. You too.
Without a doubt. What do you think of the singing section as well? Because they kept going throughout, didn't they?
Well, I actually thought it was very good. So, and they are heard and they were noisy. And I mentioned it in my programme notes. I saw it at Glasgow Celtic, they set it up, and I think it's been really good. And I think it is important. I think that, you know, if you're an old fashioned supporter, you come and you want to sing, you want to join in, and sometimes, you know, you need people to start it. So, thanks to the support, and thanks for the support they've shown me as well.
Yeah, thanks to Gemma for that. OK, let's conclude our review of October by speaking about the best player of the month and who we think it is and why. Adam, we have on the club website nominated three standout players, David De Gea, Wayne Rooney and Adnan Januzaj. What's the thinking behind picking out those?
Well, I think we've already talked at length about Januzaj and his impact has been obvious. You know, it was very hard to, impossible to leave him out of the running for the award. But of course, you know, there's always the other side of a team, and that's keeping it tight at the back and restricting the opposition to a handful of goals. In fact, just the odd one in most games this month. And David De Gea's form has been tremendous. We wanted to recognise that and give the fans the opportunity to vote for him.
I think David De Gea could have been in it just solely for the save at Sunderland, really.
From Giaccherini.
It was an incredible save, but also just what an important result that was. You know, had that
been 2-0, yeah, we might not have gone on to win it.
Yeah, exactly. And of course that did, you know, give then Yanezai the platform to go on and score his two great goals in the second half and turn the result on its head. So David's contribution had to be recognised, and then of course Wayne Rooney, who won the award in September when he scored a bag full of goals. Hasn't been quite as prolific this month, but certainly in terms of pulling the strings, you know, even to see him come on late on against Norwich in the Capital One Cup and send through that fantastic pass for Fabio to finish off, you know, he's clearly enjoying and loving his football at the moment. So I think that it was a strong three, and I think a difficult one to call. We'll make the announcement next week. We'll see who comes out on top.
Yeah, it'd be really interesting to see. I'm fascinated to see it, actually, because I want to know who the fans would choose. I just find it hard to argue against Wayne Rooney as winning it back-to-back times, Paul, because he's been so, so good. He does look like the Wayne Rooney we know he can be.
He does. He wouldn't be my choice, but he does. I think he's, even when he drops into midfield against Stoke, his position, he's obviously made quite clear, he's not his favourite position and he'd rather be playing further forward. But when he did drop in, the energy he brought to our midfield, driving us on, and just got us ticking over at a higher tempo, which was what was required to beat Stoke and to come back from 2-1 down. And he just looks like a player who just wants the ball all the time, and he couldn't say that last season. He didn't look like he wanted the ball all the time. Half the time he looked like he didn't really want to be there. But this season he looks just like the player that we know he can be, and yeah. I think that he's closing in on goal scoring records very rapidly.
So you wouldn't pick Rooney?
I'd go for David De Gea. Okay. Not just for the save at Sunderland either. I thought some of his saves he pulled off against Stoke.
The one from Walters again when it was at 1-0.
Well, you know, that could have gone against us, and then, you know, we wouldn't be coming back from 2-1 down. It'd be even further, even bigger job to come back from. And I just think that what you need when things aren't going for you is your last line of defence to be right on top of his game. And it's ironic that when he first arrived, within like a game, West Brom away, the press, a lot of media were saying, and some fans as well, were saying that David De Gea, you know, he wasn't going to make it, he wasn't going to be good enough. They'd made a snap judgment on him, which everyone told him was a snap judgment, but they stuck by it. And that Joe Hart was the greatest thing since sliced bread. Well, that's turned around pretty well, hasn't it? So, you know, right now, De Gea, to me, looks the best keeper in the country. People, Chelsea fans will tell you Petr Cech, but I don't agree at all. I think De Gea is just outstanding.
Yeah. I think it's the mark of a good goalkeeper, isn't it? Or a great goalkeeper, rather. Sets them apart from the good goalkeepers. The ability to make great saves at important times. You know, these are game-changing saves that De Gea is making. Perhaps you wouldn't want to be in that position in the first place. You perhaps want to, you know, score two early goals and be quite comfortable and have the goalkeeper sort of have a night off almost. But for whatever reason, he's having that sort of Schmeichel-esque knack now of making decisive interventions, and then that gives everyone else on the field, or everyone else in the team, that confidence boost to think, right, well, whatever they throw at us, this guy's gonna pull it out of the fire for us.
Yeah.
You know, we can carry on playing our game and not worry about the guy behind us. Because,
so you go for David as well?
Well, I'm just saying, just in general terms, I think he's had a great month. I'd like to sort of sit on the fence as the editor and not cast my vote in this podcast, but you know, I hope he continues to be a nominee each month through the season, because that will tell you we're in good shape.
James?
I think Rooney will win it. I think it'll be quite close, but I think I don't really want to pick one personally, but that's who I think will win it.
Yeah, so we'll be very, very close to see who wins the Player of the Month for October. As you know, David De Gea is one of the nominees. Chicharito has been speaking about the Spanish stopper. This is what he said. For me, he's probably the best in the world right now. People don't like to say that, but for me, he probably is. David and Edwin van der Sar are two of the best goalkeepers I have trained with. Wonderful. Same level, same style, and David is improving day by day. So it looks like, Paul, Javier Hernandez would be casting his vote for David De Gea. He can't speak any more glowingly than that, comparing him to the great van der Sar.
Well, no, I mean he could have mentioned Schmeichel in there as well, and then we'd have had certainly two of our greatest goalkeepers mentioned in the same breath. I think he's, in terms of De Gea, what we've seen from him, I think he's making match-winning saves, turning games. He's not just being a steady goalkeeper behind a back four. He's making a real impact, pulling off saves that, you know, are as important as goals at the other end. And he looks to be improving all the time. If you compare a picture of him in his first game against West Brom and you compare a picture of him now, you can see the difference in build and the difference that's making. You can see in his performances. He's, you know, the guy that was apparently couldn't take crosses, and there were all jokes about him and, you know, about his supposed weakness under that. That seems, no one seems to be talking about that anymore. And I just think he's, given his age, he's so much potential. It's frightening. You know, he could be the best goalkeeper in the world. I'm not sure he is yet. I'm not sure I agree with Chicha on that, but I think he's certainly going the right way about it.
Yeah, just 22, James. He's got, I mean, 20 years almost as a goalkeeper in front of him.
It's easy to forget that he's 22 sometimes. He's so laid back. Nothing seems to bother him. A bit like Yanezé, we've already talked about. But, you know, to think about the pressure that he was under when he first joined the club, and it's just like water off a duck's back. He's just not been bothered about it. He's just gone about his business and come on leaps and bounds. You know, I'd agree he's probably not quite the best goalkeeper in the world yet, but certainly I think he is in the Premier League. So it's brilliant that we're going to have him for such a long time to come.
And the fans really got behind David, despite all the media criticism of him. The United fans were brilliant with him and really gave him the confidence to become who he is now.
Yeah, I think fans are very good at recognising when they have a role to play. And I think, you know, we've seen players in the past have been through a hard time. Another David, David Beckham, of course, has been talking this week about, you know, his terrible time after the World Cup in 98. And, of course, our fans instinctively knew straight away that they, if anybody was going to pick David up, it was our fans, you know. So in the same sort of way, they've sort of, well, very different issues, of course, and very different circumstances, but in the same kind of way they supported David Beckham, they've supported David De Gea, and we're now all seeing the benefits of that, you know, the fact that that he's drawn support from the supporters and, indeed, of course, the staff and the teammates working with him every day at the training complex.
It's another example of Sir Alex Ferguson just knowing exactly how to handle players. Because at the time, people were saying he shouldn't keep dropping him every time he has a bad game. That's not going to help him. And he did. And if he thought that David wasn't playing particularly well, he would take him out of the limelight and then he'd throw him back in. And every time he brought him back in, he upped his game to another level. He'd obviously recognised him, what would drive him on and what would take him to where they knew they needed to get him to. And every time they did it, he came back better. And now we're seeing the benefits of that.
Yeah.
I think that's a reflection on David. He doesn't seem to suffer from a lack of confidence. Like, if he'd have been dropped, he'd have just thought, right, I've got to improve myself, and that's what he's done. So I think that's a reflection on him.
Yeah, and love his character as well. You guys have met him as well when you have any time in David De Gea's presence. A lovely, lovely guy, terrific character, and he will be, at one stage, I think, the best keeper in the world. Not quite yet, Chicha, I think we agree with that, but yeah, certainly has the potential to be. Let's just quickly finish the October review with our goal of the month then. Paul, you go first. Which goal would you pick out?
Yanezai's second goal at Sunderland.
Can't disagree with you there.
I think it was a technique more than anything. Paul Scholes made a habit of scoring goals like that. We used to see him and say, oh, typical Paul Scholes goal, look at his body shape, he struck it on the volley, everything about it is just perfect. Well, that was what, you know, that was straight out of the Paul Scholes scrapbook. And if that's what we've got more to come from Yanezai, then that's fantastic. I mean, I liked Phil Jones's goal, and I also liked Yanezai's first goal in the game against Sunderland. Phil Jones' goal against Norwich was another sort of dropping ball where he had to get over the top of it and hit it, but you can't beat Yanezai's goal for me.
Yeah, I agree completely with Yanezai's second. What's special? James, Adam, any differences of opinion to that one?
No, hard to disagree with that. I really, really enjoyed Yanezai's second goal. You know, brilliant technique, brilliant execution.
So. Love the way he watched the ball, completely eyes intent, fixed on that ball the whole way till it left his boot.
Sort of really, he kept his body really still and just, you know, put his foot through it, and yeah, it's just textbook.
Yeah, Adam?
Yeah, the best goal, I think, certainly, Challenge Eye. But I did enjoy the fourth goal against Norwich, the one where Rooney pinged that wonderful ball over the top for Fabio to run and score. A very rare goal, only his third goal for the club. Don't often see him on the team sheet, never mind the score sheet. So I enjoyed that one. And yeah, it's been a very good month on the whole, and we hope we can carry that form and flare into November.
I think Yanazai's second goal at Sunderland will be one that we'll see for a very long time, because if his career trajectory keeps taking him in the route it is, then it's going to be looked back on as the moment where he burst onto the scene. And I think that's because it was the nature of the goal, as much as, you know, he could have scored a tap in and we'd remember it, but it was the nature of the goal to win that game for us when we'd had a very poor first half.
OK, we will shortly discuss United's current crop of wingers. Before we do so, we sat down with United legend Willie Morgan to get his thoughts, starting with Antonio Valencia.
Valencia, of the four wingers that we have here, I would play Valencia every game. He gives you 100%. You know what you're going to get from him. Of the four, he's the one that will do the same job week in, week out for you. And for me, he'd be on my team sheet. He doesn't have great flair, but the job he does is superb. So yeah, he'd be number one on the list. The young lad who's just come in, I think, has a chance to be a great player. Time will tell, but he has, it's what he does and how he does it. He reminds me of the old great wingers. He does things so it's wonderful, and he has a chance to go ahead and be a great, great player. So I'd like to see him playing on the left wing and give us the width. The one thing that Valencia does, he stays wide, he gives you width, and this kid does the same. So having wingers who can get to the byline is massive. And it, no, you can't tackle forwards. I mean, I think George and I would love to have played now. We never got kicked. It'd been fantastic. But it's vital. You know, all the great teams have great wingers. All the great teams. So it's very important. And I'm sure David Moyes knows that. And although...
Yeah, James, so plenty of competition for places out wide, isn't there?
There is, yeah. I mean, there always has been at United, but it's good to see, really. We need that sort of competition for places. We've always been blessed with a lot of good wingers. And I think the good thing with United is everyone seems to buy into the competition. They understand that you need a full squad. And as long as everyone does buy into it, then competition is good for the team. We've got a lot of quality wingers who could probably walk into most other teams, and some of them are having to be content with places on the bench or not even in the squad, but you know, we have got some great wingers.
Ashley Young stated his claim for a place with a decent form against Norwich, and he's certainly spoken very well about his desire, his intent to prove David Moyes that he should be the one starting on that left-hand side.
Yeah, it's a big season for Ashley Young, or indeed any player with aspirations for to play in a certain big tournament next summer, but I'm pleased that he's concentrating first and foremost on getting his place back in the United team and playing more games than he has done of late. I think with wingers, you know, not every ball is going to be spot on, and not every ball from Ashley was spot on against Norwich, but there was certainly enough of a contribution from him, you know, to suggest that, yes, he can play a bigger part under David Moyes. And just make it as difficult as possible for the manager to pick the team. I think it's encouraging that David is playing with width, and I think it's probably, well, certainly it was very notable against Norwich in the Cup, how often we were going to the flanks to try and get round the back of Norwich, and in what dare I say, quite an old-fashioned way, really, because it doesn't seem too long ago that we were talking about diamonds and the death knell almost for wingers at this place.
Paddy Crown was talking on his show about the fact when Nani was booed off, it was not the thing to do against Stoke. Would you agree with that, Paul? It was not.
It's not the United.
Not good for our fans to do.
It's not
that.
The United way, and it never has been. And that's the thing that I think annoyed. Probably, I was annoyed on Saturday when I left the ground, because I just thought, one thing you do if you can see a player struggling, they're not having a great game. And Nani had a good few some impressive displays in the games leading up to it, and he wasn't having the greatest afternoon.
But he did set up our first goal.
He did set up our first goal, but he wasn't having a great all-round game. And he's not going to get better if people are on his back. And that sort of... It almost has become like an impatience in football, and I like to think it had bypassed United, but the evidence of Saturday was that it hadn't, and that if a player isn't... It just upset me that United fans think it's OK to boo our own team. We used to laugh at Manchester City if they booed their team off if they didn't win or if they were losing at half-time or whatever. We used to call it the boo camp. and we seem to have gone full circle, and we're almost as bad as them in the sense that a bad performance some people felt it was okay to boo. Well, it isn't, and it shouldn't be. Manchester United fans clapped our team off when we lost 6-1 at home to Manchester City. That's what we've become famous for. That's why people think we're great supporters, because we give our team support regardless of the result. And so to boo one of your own players, it just shouldn't happen, and I was disappointed by that.
Yeah, I echo those sentiments completely. So, Nani, hopefully he'll pick himself up and challenge for places again. We just talked about Young with Valencia, Adnan, Kagwa can play out wide as well. Welbeck obviously can put a shift in there, James. Who do you see as the first choice two right now?
I'd probably say Valencia. I mean, he's having a good season. He's really picked himself up after last season. I think Valencia's qualities in defence as well mark him out as one of my first choice. Possibly Adnan, the way he's playing at the moment. Yeah, you know, it's hard to leave him out. So that'd be my two.
It depends. You say who's the first two? Who are we playing? Because at home, yes, you'd pick your two best wingers. You'd probably go for Valencia or Nani on the form he showed before Saturday, and then you probably go for Adnan on the other wing, or Shinji, because Shinji's been cutting in. There are options there. I'm not sure. If you ask David Moyes what his two strongest wingers are, his first choice wingers are, I'm not sure he'd know at this stage. I think it does depend on who we're playing and where we're playing. Away from home, I think it will be completely different to what we've seen four home games in a row in October.
Yeah, you want perhaps harder workers, players better defensively to play in those wide positions, but wingers. Is playing wide, playing out wide, and keeping width to your play. It's a hallmark, a tradition of United, isn't it, Adam? We love to see tricky, pacey wingers.
Yeah, I mean, when I first started working here, the wingers were Ryan Giggs and Andrei Kanchelskis, and then they literally picked themselves week in, week out. This is, of course, in the time when squads weren't as big as they are now, but it was very hard to argue with those two being, you know, probably the two best wingers in the league at the time. I mean,
Lee Sharp tried to.
He did, and did well when he did get a game. But,
yeah, he did.
But I used to love watching Andre get the ball on the you know, what was perhaps sometimes the far wing from where I was sitting, and you'd see all the camera flashes light up. You know, if it was an evening game, there was just an expectancy whenever he got the ball. The speed that he could run at with or without the ball was impressive, and I think we just like to be entertained. And wingers are you know. Not just here, but in other clubs, are great players for that, getting you off the seat. Perhaps there's an affinity because they're the players that are actually closest to you physically in the stands, and the players that you see running up and down, getting lime on their boots, etc. But I hope that you know we continue to play with the same flair we saw, particularly against Norwich in midweek.
And that's your lot for now. Don't forget you can keep up to date with the Barclays Premier League champions on manunited.com, Facebook, Twitter, Google+, and Instagram. We'll see you again next week. Bye for now.